This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Steve Inskeep and Renee Montaigne are away. I'm John Itzi. Coretta Scott King, the widow of slain civil rights leader Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., died today. She was 78 years old. She had had several strokes since she was diagnosed with a heart condition last spring. Coretta Scott King is not only remembered as the wife of Dr. King, but as a passionate leader in her own right. NPR's Kathy Lohr reports.
In April 1968, the assassination of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. at the height of the civil rights movement stunned the nation and focused the spotlight on Coretta Scott King. Afterward, she appeared always dignified, brave, and perhaps even more prepared to carry on her husband's mission to bring about nonviolent social change. While her husband's body was taken back to Atlanta, Coretta Scott King attended a rally at City Hall in Memphis, where Dr. King had planned to speak.
How long will it take? How many men must die before we can really have a free and true and peaceful society?
I never thought of it as a sacrifice during the time I was involved. I thought of it as a commitment.
In an interview with NPR in 2003, King said even in her college days, while she was pursuing a music degree, she was an activist. She married Martin Luther King Jr. in June 1953 at the King family home in Alabama.
I married Martin Luther King Jr. because I came to love him after I met him, but I also married the cause that we both shared in and the commitment, and so that made it possible when he was no longer here for me to continue because I understood what Martin Luther King stood for, and I felt that Martin himself was the noble example of what human beings could achieve, and I was hoping that we could raise up younger generations of people who would follow in Martin Luther King Jr.'s methods, principles of nonviolence and methods to bring about social change and to create the beloved community that he envisioned.
By 1955, when Martin Luther King Jr. organized the Montgomery bus boycott on behalf of Rosa Parks, he had become a leading figure in the civil rights movement. Coretta was busy raising four children, Yolanda, Martin III, Dexter, and Bernice. Angela Shelf Medeiros, author of Dare to Dream, a biography of Coretta Scott King for children, says Mrs. King did much behind-the-scenes work for the movement. She held concerts to raise money for the cause and constantly offered her home as a meeting place.
She, you know, talked about how she was used to reheating the food and keeping her house open and being up at all times, and then also dealing with the pure terror that went on during that time period because they were constantly receiving death threats, whether, you know, she was going with her husband to be booked in jail for some trumped-up charge in order to stop the movement, or whether she was standing beside him or marching with him. She always had this rock-solid belief in the purpose of what they were doing. And I think Mrs. King was a woman who sort of set the standard for a lot of women who would come after her and the way you should conduct yourself when you are pushed to the forefront of history.
After her husband's assassination, other civil rights leaders didn't have to wait long to find out that Mrs. King would not let her husband's work die with him. Reverend Joseph Lowry was the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
She had a sense of calling to do what she could to extend a sense of Martin's presence in the movement. And so it became apparent that she was not simply going to be a housewife and mother, but that she would establish herself not just as Mrs. Martin Luther King, but as Coretta Scott King and Mrs. Martin Luther King.
In January 1969, she announced plans to establish the Center for Nonviolent Social Change in Atlanta. It began in the basement of King's birthplace and has grown into a 23-acre complex on a national historic site. In a speech to the National Press Club in 1993, Mrs. King was clearly proud of the center's work with young people, citing the training of Los Angeles gang members.
We're teaching young people that nonviolence is a powerful force for moral transformation. We're empowering them to rise above the bitter cycle of revenge, retaliation, and retribution that poisons human relations and create instead a climate of cooperation that can confront and rectify injustice in a more loving way.
Coretta Scott King continued to speak out against oppression all over the world. She lobbied almost since Dr. King's death on behalf of a federal holiday to honor him and finally got that designation in 1986. By 2000, all of the states and the District of Columbia observed the holiday. Reverend Lowry.
Well, I think she'd be an inspiration for women and men as well forever because Martin's name will continue to ring. The holiday is here, and her extension of his spirit and presence will be in perpetuity.
In 2003, Coretta Scott King continued to be a voice for peace. She used the holiday to urge people to speak out, as her husband would have, against the U.S. war in Iraq.
Martin made his words credible with action as he protested against the war in Vietnam. May his challenge and his example guide and inspire us to seek peaceful alternatives to the war with Iraq and military conflict in the Middle East and all over the world.
Coretta Scott King was 78 years old. Kathy Lohr, NPR News.